whistle. Next guy walk over. Sassed him. And then I just had this pile of dead bodies to the point where when the last guy was getting ready to walk in the room, he just saw the bodies and went, oh my God! To the waterfront the other day.
Yeah.
Took my copy of Yo-Kai Watch 2.
Nice.
There you that go. Hung out, listened to a podcast on that thing.
Nice. There you go. Very cool.
Played some Yo-Kai Watch 2.
And listened to a podcast. I should give that thing a try, actually. Yeah. Now that I have a DS, I should give that a try. Faux show.
It's the best game on there.
Best game on there. That's the reason. Better than Box Boy? Because Box Boy's pretty great.
Boxboy's great.
Yeah.
That's better.
That's a better game.
You know what I've been playing the fuck out of?
What have you been playing the fuck out of? Actually, let's get to that this week on the Video Struck Podcast, because it's time for the Video Struck Podcast. Hoss, what you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of video games. Been a little while here. We took about a 3-4 week hiatus.
Yeah, about 2 weeks, I think. Wasn't it? Or 2-3 weeks?
I think it was 3 weeks.
3 weeks, I think. Yeah, yeah. Well, we're setting up for that live stream, so we've been kind of busy making sure that's going. But we've been streaming a lot more, though.
Yeah, we've been in a logistical nightmare, but I've been streaming quite a few games here lately. Mm-hmm. We did a joint stream last week.
Yep.
I've streamed the Outlast demo. We did that as a group together. Yeah. You know, I've streamed a bunch of Forza, so there's video content out there to be had, and a bunch more that we recorded today, and some other stuff that we still got in the can that should be going up here shortly. But yeah, so as what that means is that I have been playing a lot of video games.
Yes, lots of video games.
Let's start with the 3DS.
Sure.
On the 3DS...
Just want to list all of them, that'll probably take about 20 minutes to get through.
On the 3DS, I've been playing 3 different P-Cross games.
Okay, yeah.
They're my favorite puzzle games.
Sure.
So, P-Cross 3D Round 2 came out for the 3DS here recently. You can play it on the 2DS, the 3DS, or the XL, or even the new one, whatever.
Sure.
It's a sequel to P-Cross and P-Cross 3D that were DS games.
Right.
I had only ever played, I believe it was called Mario's P-Cross for the Game Boy Color back in the day, and then Pokemon P-Cross for the 3DS, and really liked them. Basically, what P-Cross is it's a 5x5 or 7x7, just depending on how it is, grid game, and think Sudoku, but instead of like putting numbers down it, you're grouping pairs
together.
So you'll have like a 1 and a 3, so you know there's going to be one that's by itself and then 3 that are together, but those 4 are not touching.
Yes.
And you basically just have to start cross referencing this, and then just by process of elimination start coming up with determinations and then chipping away or flagging. So think
Minesweeper
mixed with Sudoku, and you end up with P-Cross.
P-Cross, yeah.
So I played through all of P-Cross 3D Round 2. I'm not going to write up a review for it. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. There you go.
If you like puzzle games...
5 stars.
Perfect.
5 stars.
Yeah, that game is perfect. Yeah. So I ended up going out and... finding used copies of P-Cross and P-Cross 3D, and I finished those.
Right.
Want reviews on those? 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
5 stars.
10 out of 10. 5 stars.
They're fucking great.
Perfect games.
I love them. Like, as far as, like, simplicity in design, the way that, like, P-Cross is just a... P-Cross is a flat object, just like a Sudoku page, and then P-Cross 3D, it's... You can twist the object... And then you have to chip away at the sides.
Oh, wow.
So you end up with a full 3D object instead of a flat picture of, oh, well, it's a wrench.
Right, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
No, it's like now it's like, here's a fucking full Pikachu.
Here's a giant Pikachu.
Yeah.
All this. Yeah, exactly.
It's really cool. I love those games. I would strongly recommend anybody who has even a passing interest, the P-Cross 3D Round 2 is free to start. You get to do the... probably like first 10 puzzles.
Right.
That's worth checking out. Or if you're willing to maybe take a little bit more of a leap, I think P-Cross 3D or regular P-Cross are less than $10 is what I paid for them.
Right.
At GameStop used, you might have to have it shipped to you, but it's fucking great.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like those games. I have been playing those like I play most DS games. When I wake up in the morning after I work out, as I'm kind of just letting my mind relax before I go to work.
Sure.
Do that a little bit. You know, during my lunch break, before I go to bed, when I'm taking a dump.
Right.
It's good for all of these things.
Sure.
You know, if you can bang out a puzzle real quick while you're pinching a loaf, good time. There's
good to know.
There's plenty of... Don't use my DS. It has been in the bathroom a lot.
a lot of fecal coliform on that one.
Getting the white one was probably not a very good idea.
Not a good idea.
but yeah, I fucking fell in love with those, and I've somehow managed, amongst all these other games that I've played a shitload of, I probably played 50 or 60 hours of P-Cross in the last month.
Nice.
Which was a hell of an experience. I really like P-Cross.
There you go.
Okay, next... Yo-Kai Watch 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yo-Kai Watch 2 is incredible. It is better than the original in many, 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 many ways.
Right.
I would strongly recommend you get the digital version of Fleshy Souls.
Okay.
Because you get a custom version of Jibanyan that is Sailor Nyan, and
it looks like
Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon,
which I'm a real big fan of. I think if you get the digital version of Bony Spirits, you get Robanyan, so you get like a mecha version.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool too.
That's pretty okay.
But I was getting that Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon one sounds like that's that's crisp right there.
Mwah.
That's what that is.
So yeah, I've been playing a bunch of Yo-Kai Watch 2. It does something that's so much more elegant than any Pokemon game, and I fucking respect the shit out of it. The fact that it does this.
Yeah.
Very beginning of that game, you're asleep. Your fucking watch gets stolen.
Oh, no.
These fucking, these spirits come in and they steal your watch.
Yeah.
And when your watch is gone, you and all of your yokai and Whisper forget.
Oh, no.
So you go out that day and you go to pick up donuts with your parents.
Yeah.
Which is, if you've seen that my lady named Pickles, she's early in the game, you're given $10 to pick up donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to choose between, like, your parents are in this fucking knockdown drag-out fight in the middle of the street between soul or spirit donuts.
Jesus Christ.
And you have to choose.
Holy crap.
And what that does is that actually chooses an alignment.
Okay.
For you.
So soul or spirit is the idea.
And that's why there's, like, the bony spirits and fleshy souls.
Fleshy souls, gotcha. So
it kind of surfaces that a little bit more.
Right, yeah.
But just like the Pokemon, in the previous Yo-Kai Watch... The one that we got in America, we only got one.
Right.
In Japan, there was two originally, just like the Pokemons.
Right, sure.
So this one, this time, given the relatively small but success of Yo-Kai Watch 1, they decided to launch both games this time.
Mm-hmm.
They also have released like a series of these little coins that you can get that are QR codes that you can scan that'll get you extra items and stuff like that. They've kind of gone full-scale blitz with toys and all sorts of shit, so it sounds like... The TV show is fairly successful, and it sounds like they're really trying to get Yo-Kai Watch over as much as it is in Japan.
Which is insane in Japan.
I would say that for the first time in a very, very long time, like, maybe I'm wrong,
yeah.
But I feel like Monster Hunter hasn't gotten over here.
No, not very. I mean, it has a pretty decent market size, but it's not.
It's like, niche at best.
It's niche at best. It's not huge. Like, it makes its money here, but
yeah,
it's not...
It's enough to justify bringing it here.
Sure.
There's profit in it.
Sure, but it's not fucking Pokemon or something. Like, it's not that.
Well, and, like you know. That is Capcom's best-selling game in the world.
Right.
And it's kind of like how Madden is EA's best-selling game in the United States, but FIFA is their best-selling game worldwide.
Worldwide, yeah.
You know, it's very big here, and it does get released other places, but it's not really a big deal other places.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, it sells kind of okay in Mexico and Canada and the UK, but everywhere else, Madden is just kind of whatever.
It's the US, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the market for that.
Yeah, but really, that exists because of the United States.
Because of the United States,
because
yeah,
we're fucking nuts for football.
Yeah, insane for the football.
Yeah, so this is, you know... unlike Monster Hunter, it sounds like Yo-Kai Watch is starting to catch on in that Pokemon way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I would say a lot of that is because this game, like Pokemon, is so much more accessible than Monster Hunter. I have tried several times to get into Monster Hunter. I think if I had three friends
that were willing to...
They don't even have to be into it.
Right.
We're all going to give it a go.
Right, yeah, and just have a run.
Yeah, and we're going to hang out like once a week and compare dudes and, you know, run a dungeon real quick. And then we'll go level up our guys for a week and then come back and do this again.
Right.
If I had that kind of community around it,
yeah,
I would absolutely do it. But by myself or matching up with randos,
right?
No, it does not work. I have zero interest in it.
Right.
But Yo-Kai Watch 2... is, you know, following on that success of Yo-Kai Watch 1. You know, it seems like it's grabbing a following here. There's a lot of improvements in this game. I don't think it necessarily graphically looks very much different, but there's a lot more variance in kind of like the evolutions that you would get in Pokemon. There's a lot of choice patterns that you get. Mm-hmm. There's more items. The story is longer. There's more side quests. It's more.
Right.
Everything from top to bottom in this game is about getting more.
More stuff.
Yeah. And
That sounds like a good sequel to me, because the sequel is like reintroducing you to the same thing that you played before, but adding extra things on top of it to improve. That's what a sequel should do in a game. So,
yeah, it's definitely, if you're somebody that likes Pokemon, like, you know, I guess we haven't really talked about the way that the game works. We've talked about it on the show before, but just to kind of refresh everybody, Yo-Kai Watch is Pokemon.
Pokemon.
But.
With ghosts.
Yo-Kai are these ghosts. They're the people that they're these ghosts that basically, like, whenever somebody's, like, being a dick on purpose, you know, acting completely belligerent in public, it's not because they're a drunk asshole or someone with mental disabilities. It's because
there's a yokai in them.
It's because there's a yokai. And I like to think whenever I see somebody being an asshole near the bus station, that there's a yokai near there, and I pull out my DS.
Like, oh, there's a yokai.
Start looking
here.
Around. And I'm like, wow. Oh, there it is.
Oh, there we go. Those asshole clowns with butcher knives. Yokais.
Oh, man.
I'm glad one of them got shot. Sorry. Go on.
If you walk around terrorizing people...
With a fucking butcher knife? Yeah, you're gonna get shot.
Yeah.
Sorry. You're an asshole. So, anyway.
The gameplay pacing in this is real good. There's more dungeons to find in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I find there's less areas in this game where I'm just wandering around waiting.
Right.
There were a lot of times in that game where it would almost Shenmue you a little bit. Where like, well, I can't do this till tomorrow.
Nah, no one wants to get Shenmued. Nobody wants to get Shenmued.
I just watched through the Giant Bomb guys play through all of Shenmue.
Oh, those poor bastards.
Fuck. My memory of that game was like... And I don't even think I'm, like, a big apologist for it.
Sure.
But my memory was a little bit rosier than what reality is.
Sinister!
Get away from me, you mutant children!
You mutant potato child! Oh, God!
Ugh.
Ugh.
But, yeah, like, the gameplay pacing in this is very simple. So you walk up, there's a, you know, you'll have to pull out your lens a lot of times if you're in explore mode. Your watch will start going out. There's this meter, and you'll hear,
Yeah.
And so you pull out your lens, and it's this little lens you flip up on your watch,
and
you start looking around, and you can either do it with the stylus, or you can actually do the gyroscope and move your DS around.
Nice.
I use a stylus, but I like the fact that there's gyroscope stuff in there.
Sure.
But yeah, you kind of look around, and you'll actually be able to move through the environment and see, oh, here's this guy, and then a lot of times once... he's been detective, he'll start to run away.
Yeah.
And you've got to fill up this meter, so you got to follow him and keep filling the meter or it drains back out.
Right, yeah.
And then once combat induces, it'll be between 1 to 3 enemies.
Right.
You have a wheel of 6 yokai.
Right.
That you can turn around in any degree. It's not just, well, flip it 180 degrees or flip it 90 degrees or anything like that.
Right.
You can... turn this to any degree that you want. So what I tend to do is I stack healers on one side with status effect guys and then attackers on the other side.
Right.
And then sometimes I'll find an attacker who also has a status effect skill, so I can still be peppering out that those out there while I'm charging my Sultimates with my attack guys, and then flip back around and heal.
Gotcha.
So it's a delicate balance that you have to achieve. So basically, your characters will do their random attacks themselves. It's free battle.
Right, yeah.
It's kind of like once you click on somebody in World of Warcraft, how they just start attacking.
Just start doing it.
And then everything else is your specials, and those are your Sultimates. Mm-hmm. So once you activate a Sultimate for someone once they're charged, it will initiate a video game. So you'll either be tapping these little balls on the screen, tracing these kanji characters.
Gotcha.
You know, wiping things off the screen, things like that. So
little mini games to accomplish.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you get a status effect thrown on you, you can actually you know, rebuff yourself by getting rid of that, and then you'll have to do another mini game to do that. So, and a lot of the time, like, if I get a status effect and, like, I know that this battle can finish quickly, or if I wait to charge and, rebuff myself and stuff like this, this fight's going to take a long time and it might fuck me.
Right.
I'll just flip the scale around, pull those guys out of there, and just keep going.
Right.
And a lot of what I'll do, if I know it's going to be a more protracted battle, is I'll flip to my attack guys.
Yeah.
Wait for them to charge their Sultimates, flip it back around to the healing guys.
Right.
And then just start casting all my effects, then flip it back around, and then cast all my attacks.
Right.
And you end up with this really nice balance of softening them up, and then bang, 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 bang.
Right.
I know some of that may sound like a really kind of complicated design, but it's very simple.
Very intuitive.
Yes. I had zero problem when I first got it. I knew nothing about Yo-Kai. I had never seen the show.
Right.
I've seen a few episodes of it now, and it's kind of bad. The American dub is pathetic. Woof.
Yeah, which is a shame because like dubs have been better recently, but yeah.
Well, is that on Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon?
Cartoon Network, I think, has that one. Yeah, I want to say Cartoon Network has that one.
Aren't they notorious for their bad dubs on Cartoon Network?
They were. 4Kids was typically the one that had the bad stuff.
I think this is 4Kids.
4Kids, that's what it is. 4Kids is typically the ones that has the bad dub. Funimation typically has the good stuff. That's where you want to go for good dubbing. But 4Kids is like that kind of dumbed down, like...
I seem to remember hearing 4Kids referenced with this.
I'm certain it's probably 4Kids that does that dubbing.
But yeah, like the... you can... On the DS store,
mm-hmm.
on your 3DS, you can watch the first episode of that anime for free.
There you go.
If you got fucking 20 minutes... I fucking strongly recommend you
go
watch
right
that.
Ahead. Watch, yeah.
It's no Polar Bear Cafe.
It's no Polar Bear Cafe, but what is really?
You're not wrong.
What is, honestly?
Someone find me a funny anime that's better than Polar Bear Cafe. I'll fucking watch all of it.
I'll watch
I don't care if it's 1,000 episodes. I watch every goddamn one. But yeah, I love Yo-Kai Watch 2. I got my bike.
Right.
I love it.
Some questions. Is it easy to jump in if you haven't played 1?
Yes.
It reintroduces you to everything?
It's as easy to jump in as 1 because it reintroduces you to everything. Because
you forget.
Because your character forgot.
That's fine.
But at the same time, she's like every time she does something, she's like, oh, I know this.
I
and you can
that.
Skip some stuff.
Right.
It gives you the choice of, I do remember this, or I'm still a little hazy.
Right.
So yeah, it lets you opt out of some of that if you've done it before, so you don't completely feel like you're on training wheels.
That's good.
I do like the fact that you can import your save.
Oh, really? From 1?
Which is nice. Okay. There's advantages for doing that. You get some... You won't feel robbed or anything, but there's some nice bonuses.
That's cool.
Some items, some of your characters, like when you reunite with them, if you had them before, they're a couple level higher than they would have been stock.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Because
They wouldn't be like top level where at the end of the game that you start at the
no.
end of the
It's one of those deals like, it's a nice leg up.
Right, sure.
It's a thank you for buying the first one.
Right, yeah.
thank you for giving us the excuse to release the second.
To release the second, yeah.
But yeah, like, they did a really good job with this one. I still like the way that it looks. I love the art style.
Yeah, I do too. I enjoy the art style.
I think it looks really good on the 3DS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I appreciate the candor they took with this, because this game exploded, and they could have farted out, like... 2 and 3 real quick because it's gigantic in Japan. They took their time. When did the first one come out? Last year or 2 years ago?
Last year,
yeah. And they tempered themselves. They didn't like fire, because they literally could have come back and just been like start development on the second one because this thing just blew up. So it's like, but they tempered it. They were let's make a good game. And
you know, in Japan, the first one came out in 2013.
Right. Yeah, that's what I thought.
And then the second one came out in 2014.
Right.
So you know, we were a few years behind. So as Gap, I don't know when. I think 3 might have just gotten released.
Right.
So I think they took 15 off.
Okay.
I think what you'll see for at least the first few years in the U.S. is one a year until we catch up, and then you'll probably start seeing that Pokemon scenario of simultaneous release.
Yeah, I think it'll probably garner some, if it gains the momentum that, like, Pokemon has or something like that. Like,
yeah, and, you know, like, this is still a very similar universe, similar story, things like that. Like, I don't necessarily feel like a lot of the narrative that this game is dealing out,
right,
if you didn't, like, if they skipped this one and went right to 3,
yeah,
I don't feel like you'd probably, I haven't finished it,
right,
but I don't feel like I'd really miss out on that much. This is just like Pokemon in that way, but I like, unlike Pokemon, that it's the same character.
Right.
It's not just, well, you're another kid and here's a fucking professor that's named after a tree.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like,
every fucking time?
Every time? I gotta
rename a guy and all this other shit.
Professor Sap.
Yeah, fucking Oak, that motherfucker. But yeah, like, I love it. What other questions do you have?
There you go. Nothing. I think that's it. I think I'm good. I played some stuff.
What'd you play?
I played that, which WWE game is it? Not the latest one. The one where, like, they're all, like, big, like, balloony cartoons.
Oh, WWE All-Stars.
All-Stars, that's the one, yeah.
That's fucking awesome. That's NBA Jam.
That's a fun game.
That's NBA Jam, but a WWE game.
Yeah, it's NFL Blitz. It's like the arcade.
Do you know who the creative director was on that?
Who was the creative director on that?
Mark Turmel.
Is
the NBA Jam, NFL Blitz, the TNA Impact, that guy.
Well, there you go. That would explain
Mark
it.
Mark Turmel, that former Midway motherfucker.
That game is fun.
NBA Hangtime, NBA Showdown, the Rush games. I mean, this Rush, motherfucker was all over the world.
But yeah, that was a very fun game. I enjoyed it. It's very easy to pick up, very easy to get into.
That game's awesome.
It's super fun. That game.
The
was
story modes
fun.
In that game are fucking hilarious.
I didn't even get to play the story modes yet. I was just playing versus stuff. So,
dude,
yeah,
the Paul Bearer stuff in there,
yeah,
is so good.
Is Paul Bearer
my Undertaker?
Is Paul Bearer gigantic too? Is he big beefy? That'd be pretty funny.
They let's just say that they accentuated his previous features.
Okay, sure.
He's a real big fat motherfucker.
Yeah, real big fat dude. He lost a lot of weight before he passed away too.
No, yeah,
WWE All-Stars, that was a fun game. It was super great. I enjoyed that.
Macho Man's great in it.
Yeah, Macho Man's awesome.
Dude, I loved playing Macho versus CM Punk.
Yeah.
Those matches always play really well.
Oh, man. We had I think in the time that I played, I did Stone Cold versus Rey Mysterio, because I'm a big Rey Mysterio, and I was like, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. And I dominated the guy. Like, it was Brian Barrow, actually, the Destination. Just destroyed him. Absolutely just fingers up, decimated him. It wasn't even a fight. I don't think he got any offense on before I even stunned
him. Did you tell him he had to protect the business?
I said, when he finally got some offense on, I did say, "Where are you fired up, kid? Then give me a chop." Way to fire up, kid. But anyway.
Just remember to protect the business.
Just protect the business. I have a shooting gallery for you. Good shoot interview. Stone Cold, The Revival. That's a real good fucking interview.
I've listened to that one.
That's a real good one. Loved it. Absolutely. It's basically just Stone Cold marking out over The Revival.
Yep.
Like, because everybody marks out over The Revival.
I love their talk about heat.
Yep. Absolutely. Dude, Jim Cornette marks out over The Revival.
Yeah.
Jim Cornette doesn't mark about shit in WWE. Loves The Revival.
But he'll watch. If you send him a Revival match, he will watch it.
He will watch a Revival match. It's the
and
only
he
thing
will,
he watches.
He will reply back to you on Twitter and tell you what he thought about that Revival match.
And it's typically positive.
It's typically, God damn, I love those kids.
Love those kids. They're great. like, wish I thought of that. That's one of my favorites was the Ciampa match where, like, they do this bit where, like, he does, like, going into Atomic Drop, but he drops him, throws him into the ropes, comes back, and then he does the other guy trades in and does a backdrop. He's like, God damn it, I wish I thought of that. I was pissed when I saw it. I was so mad when I saw it because I wish I thought of that. It's brilliant. Like, God damn it. Oh, it's funny.
Man, but, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Wrestling are so good.
I don't ever want the Revival to lose, though. I know they have to eventually, but they're just so good at winning and then just walking away champs.
What do you think the chances are they bring in Candice LeRae? I know they don't like to typically bring in wives.
It's possible. They need to trump up their women's division for sure.
Especially in NXT.
Especially in NXT. That's what I mean. Their NXT women's division needs to be trumped up. They're bringing in Mickie James, which is cool. That's really cool.
I think she's probably like a ride out till WrestleMania to get in the Hall of Fame.
Sure, yeah. I think they'll bring her in and she'll... but. Like, they're padding the female numbers, because Asuka's taking everybody out.
So. Mickie James is there to put people over.
Yeah. Oh, she is. Yeah, for sure.
She ain't going to win shit.
No, she's going to lose to Asuka easily. Yeah. But I'm just saying, they're padding it up.
Oh, yeah. So you need to fill holes.
They need to fill the holes. I think
I'm sorry, like, fucking... I like Cute Jersey Girl. What's her name?
Staten Island? Carmella?
No,
the Jersey Girl.
Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan, yeah.
She is adorable. She's great.
Right, right, right.
She's learning.
Right.
She is not ready for a championship match.
No, but we saw that with a few other girls, too. Like, Bayley was kind of rough when we first saw her coming around. She was a little rough around the edges. She was good, but she, like, was rough.
Yeah, Liv Morgan needs another year to simmer.
Sure, yeah.
Like, take over Brooklyn next year, she might be ready.
Right, exactly. And here's what I think you do. You got the Cruiserweight Classic, do a women's tournament.
Yes.
Do a women's tournament, man, and just pad the NXT with those girls that come in. Be brilliant. Be great. Be over. Over as heck.
Yes.
So, yeah, there you go.
Yes. Yes.
All that. All those things.
Wrestling.
I also downloaded Combat Core. Haven't played it yet, but I downloaded it off of Steam's $15. Go check that game out. I played it before at MAGFest. The developer is it's basically a spiritual successor to Power Stone, and it's a bunch of cyborg people with like cores instead of stones. Same deal. It plays exactly the same. I haven't played Power Stone in a while, so I don't know if it matches up exactly like it, but it plays like Power Stone.
Well,
like,
what we can do is we can do a Power Stone video and a Combat Core video, and we can compare
the two. That'll work. Yeah, Combat Stone. Power's Core.
Maybe they should be separate videos, because I don't think the developer of that game would like that close of a comparison on video.
No, I think he'd be fine with it. He seemed to be a pretty good guy. But no, it's a fun little game. Can't wait to play that. Hopefully play on the live stream.
Yeah, I've wanted to hear it since you came back from MAGFest. So.
Yeah, it's cool. I enjoy it. Good art design, too. Very much in the same realm. Like, they got a good art design guy to do the characters. I'm sure what he said was like, here's the Power Stone guys, just do that, but cyborgs.
We need a guy who looks like a shitty Europop DJ. You got one of those?
We need a dumb American pilot.
Yeah, we need a guy who looks like he's from American Gladiators. You can call him Laser.
A tiny ninja girl, we need that.
Yeah.
You know, you can call him Laser. Maybe.
I don't think that's copyrighted. No,
maybe an Arab chick like that. Yes. Like, let's do that. So, yeah, but it's a good time. I enjoy that game, and I've yet to play it again. But that's I think that's what I played. I probably played something else, but I can't really remember. Play a little more Mario Maker. I haven't built anything yet. I should probably build something. But, oh well, I've been playing it, so it's been fun. Some cool one-screen levels out there, actually. Mm-hmm. Just one screen. That's it. Mm-hmm. You get through this one screen, you gotta figure out the puzzle. That's fun. It's fun stuff. It's not like physically challenging with, like, jumps and stuff like that. Like, you know, like, hardest level. It's brain teasers, exactly. Like, hardest level ever stuff, can't do it. I cannot fucking double jump off of kicking up the shell and popping off of the thing. That's for fucking stunt runners, and it's cool. People who do that are amazing. Not my cup of tea. Cannot do it. I don't even try. So it's like, it's not a thing.
Anything else?
Nope. I think that's it. All right. So back to you. What have you played? So
you just reminded me of something that I've been playing recently.
Sure.
That is going to get someone fucking sued.
I thought you were going to say fired. I was like, what? Like, what?
No, this whole company is going to be fucking sued.
Have
you heard of Paladins?
Paladins. I think I have.
It's Overwatch.
It's Overwatch. That's right. I have heard about this. And it's like
I'll say this.
Yeah.
It's all the art style. It's almost all the characters. They have almost all the same fucking skills. Like,
right, yeah.
There are fucking analogous characters for almost everything in there.
Right.
The one thing that I would say that's like, this is free.
Right.
This is free.
Sure.
So that helps it.
Right.
I don't think the level design's very good.
Right.
Sure. But this motherfucking thing is free.
Right. Yeah.
Paladins.
Yeah.
Go look that up.
Okay. Well, it's funny because here's the thing about I saw a video about litigious stuff about games and everything. And what's always been a thing, and this is why, you know, Nintendo things get pulled down because they don't fit the copyright laws. Because if you're taking assets from a game and just repurposing it, that's taking assets from an existing property. You can't do that. And it's not a thing you can do. Taking, you know, names, obviously, like there's that Pokemon, like, fan-made game that got pulled down real fucking quick. And it was, like, 10 years in development. So it's like, and so, like, it's got all Pokemon and, like, new Pokemon in it, stuff like that. I think it was called Gymland or something. I can't remember what it was called. But, like, it had all this stuff. There was lots of work put into it. But Nintendo obviously pulled it down because they put Pokemon across it. But what's interesting is, like, what a game can't do is, in law, what it's always been able to do in law is the gameplay and the mechanics of the game has always been free reign.
Here's the thing, is that there are enough visual gameplay and specific references in here.
That's true.
That are...
That can happen. Yeah.
It's basically like I took a Wikipedia page about Thomas Jefferson...
Right, yeah.
...and changed some of the punctuation...
Right.
...and then did a word jumble on the last paragraph...
Here's my original character.
...turned it in.
Here's my original character.
And that's what this is. I mean, when you play it...
Right.
...you'll be shocked.
Right, yeah. Like, you'd be shocked if they didn't steal assets from Overwatch to do the
part. Especially, like, the art style's the same fucking thing.
Right, yeah. Interesting.
Like, it doesn't look quite as sharp.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm shocked.
Yeah, Blizzard is not typically litigious about things. They have been getting that way, though.
Because Activision.
Because of Activision. And because they shut down that Warcraft server that was old school Warcraft. They shut that down. Because they didn't want that around. They, you know, if you want old Warcraft, I guess you just can't play it anymore. But, you know, I mean, you know, I get why they don't put it out because they're moving on. But eventually Warcraft is going to be axed anyway. It still gets a lot of stuff. It's still there. But eventually that game's going to die just like everything else. So they don't want to go backwards.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that Vanilla 1 to 60 with the Cataclysm visual upgrade should be free.
Right. Oh, I agree.
In that game,
yeah.
And then because there are mountains of content after that that you can charge people to pay.
Exactly. You got the ballistas, you got the, or yeah, what are they called? Is it ballistas or whatever?
Yeah, and then there's the choppers things, and yeah, barracks and all sorts of shit.
Yeah, just all that sort
of stuff. But yeah, like I'm just saying that, like, Paladins.
Right.
Look at that thing.
Sure, sure. If there are some visual cues that you could definitely go off and say, that's a ripoff, that's a straight...
I'm not a lawyer!
Yeah, right, I know. But it's interesting because, like, there was a case in which two phone games that were identical or whatever, it was decided on the fact that the judge is a moron and decided, well, these blogs say it's the same game, so, yeah, copyright infringement. Bloggers? That's how you're gonna decide that sort? That's, you know, that's a terrible idea. Because phone games are all the fucking same. There's 1,000 different Bejeweleds with jewels involved with it, but, you know, you can't copyright that sort of thing. So it's interesting.
The thing I always thought is that, like, alright, yeah, so there's Bejeweled out there.
Right, yeah.
Puzzle Quest is not infringing upon a Bejeweled.
Right.
Because it takes that very, very base idea that Bejeweled has iterated upon many times.
Exactly.
But then thrown an entire RPG video game into that, so yeah, that's completely different.
Right, yeah.
But then I bet if you go on the fucking Android store, which is always the worst for this because they don't police it quite like Apple does.
Sure, yeah.
I bet there's a billion free-to-play fucking Bejeweled clones out there that are actually Bejeweled 3 that probably have, like, Angry Birds fucking box art as their fucking icon.
I mean, probably. That's true. And that's stealing, obviously. But it's but the way it's always been is that mechanics, even through old litigious things like Atari and things like that, mechanics are free reign. You can't, well,
because,
like,
yeah, because then Mario could, you say driving games, like,
exactly, yeah, like any driving game, Mario could sue any of his predecessors with being like, yeah,
every I'm driving game man. Every it's driving like, game owes Konami money for Ivan Iron Man Stewart's off-road challenge.
Yeah, they got the rights to that somehow. Yep. So it's interesting, but yeah, and especially if it's free to play, like, yeah, Blizzard might, like, try to, like, throw their lawyers at it. They'll probably just let it happen because it's not going to overtake Overwatch anyway. So, like, because guess what? Overwatch is a pretty fucking popular game. Like,
what was the most recent number? 25 million?
25 players? Million, I believe, yeah. God. It's insane. It's insane. It's the most popular game right now.
Here's the most interesting figure that I want to hear come March 31st.
Yeah?
At the end of Activision's fiscal year.
Yeah?
They have to release this number to investors. Mm. I want to know how much money they made off of loot boxes.
Oh, yeah, because of the... Yeah.
Think about 20 million players at $60.
At $60 of each
Granted,
one.
Granted, let's call it $40.
$40, because that's the lower end of... Yeah.
Yeah, because...
Let's assume 100% got the 40, which isn't true.
It,
but...
Well, it's been on sale. Microsoft gets their cut. GameStop gets their cut. All right. That stuff. Yes. Let's say they made $30.
Let's say they made $30 off of each one.
$30 a game.
At 25 million.
At 25 million.
Yeah.
You're talking what? $7.5 million?
$7.5 million. Yeah. Well, $7.5 million for billion, right?
Yeah, sorry. $7.5 billion for the game.
Right. Yeah.
And then you add on top of that, how much?
From all the loot and stuff like that. Yeah, it's insane.
You know, it's...
Blizzard's got, they're just pissing money.
That's the thing that I'm really curious about with Mario Run.
Yeah.
Is that, what do they charge for that?
Right.
Does Nintendo try to trailblaze a $10 standard price point for mobile games?
Right.
Or do they say 99 cents and it's, microtransaction supported?
99 cents.
I think Nintendo is going to try to trailblaze $10.
Right, yeah.
Because they're like, hey man, there's a fucking billion and a half of these phones out here.
Right.
We can get $10 a piece. That's a lot of goddamn money.
That's a lot of money. Yep. There you go.
Like, you know, I'm curious.
Imagine if the Pokemon Go app was like 99 cents.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that. Like, just like.
Well, they would get like, like half of 20%.
20%. But, you know, like, okay, then, all right, $1.99. Like, people would pay $1.99 for that app. Easy.
But it's been downloaded like 600 million times.
600 million times.
But here's
times.
The thing.
Yeah, it's insane.
How many would have downloaded it?
That's true.
If it was $1.99.
But if it was $1.99, probably still a lot.
I wouldn't have downloaded it.
I probably wouldn't have downloaded it either. But I probably wouldn't have. But a lot of people did. I might have, because I did get some friendship stuff out of it. I did like go out with some friends and they played it. So now, I might just experience that. But
to be fair, no stores can keep in those Pokemon Go watch things.
Yeah.
And those are $35 a piece.
That's true. Yeah, I got bored with that game pretty quick, but
it's not a game.
It's not a game. No, it's still popular. So, you know, it's still making the cash.
And people are like, oh, you know, it gets people outside to do things. You want a really good app? Zombie Run.
Zombie Run actually gets you.
I really like that app because it's basically you being chased by zombies. It was like horde inbound. Yeah. Run! You gotta run for like quarter of a mile, and it's like, okay. I think the coast is clear, and then it'll turn your music back on. And then when you're being chased, it'll bring in all this. You're like,
that's awesome. I love it. Using zombies for exercise. Good time.
Yeah. I don't use it that often, but it's pretty funny.
That's what we've been playing, right?
No.
We can cover. Well, all right. We just want to make this a what's we've been playing episode.
We can. My three biggest games.
Right, let's go. Do it.
Mafia 3.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That game is totally an open world game. That game looks incredible. That game has some of the highest production values I've ever seen for a game like that.
I mean, seriously, we could just make this because we didn't even say what we're doing later. So we can just make this a what we've been playing episode. I'm okay with that. And then we can cover
That's fine. We'll do it next week.
All right, cool. We'll do the game we were going to do next week. And we'll just make this. So Mafia 3.
Okay, great. Thank God.
Yeah. So Mafia 3.
Mafia 3 is an open world action game,
mm-hmm.
Which is... I wouldn't necessarily say cut from the same cloth as the previous Mafia games.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Mafia franchise has been something with 2K that has been... weird.
To say the least.
It's been created by a Czechoslovakian studio.
Mm-hmm. From Czech Republic.
So Mafia 1 came out in 2002.
Right.
And then they disappeared until 2010.
Yeah.
And then Mafia 2 came out.
Yeah.
And then nobody heard from them again.
Sure.
And then in 2016, they were like, hey, we got Mafia 3.
Hey, we got Mafia 3 now. That's cool.
And Mafia 2 was really fucking weird. Like, Mafia 2, for the time, it was cool that it had a big open world. It was after Grand Theft Auto 3, mm-hmm. and it wasn't as dense or quite as feature-rich as that game.
Yeah.
But it gave you this huge open world, and on the PC, it looked incredible.
Yeah.
Like, nothing looked like it.
Yeah.
It was all 1920s, you know, mafioso New York shit.
Right.
It was cool. Mafia 2 comes around 2010. That game... pretty interesting style to it. Very, very boilerplate Godfather 1, Godfather 2 kind of fucking storytelling there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 8 to 10 hour game that's got this big open world in it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to do in the open world.
Right.
Like, I have no idea why that game is an open world. There's nothing to do.
Nothing to do in it.
Like, there's no diversions. I can't even deliver fucking pizzas. Nothing.
No bowling alleys, no UFOs to find.
Yeah, I'm not hanging out with Brucey and taking a helicopter ride, nothing.
Nothing to do. Jeez.
It was like, the best way I've ever heard that game described is that, like, so, most games, you know, it's like, oh, it's a sandbox without the sand. No, this is a sandbox that's full of sand.
Right.
That has a fully realized world.
Right.
But you have no bucket. And no shovel to do anything with it.
You've just got sand.
There's a lot of sand.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite bits from GTA 5, because there's tons of shit to do in that fucking open world. They could seriously just ride that till like the next decade, because they keep adding shit. I have no idea when 6 is coming out, because they could ride this for a long fucking time. But one of my favorite bits was, like, because you knew the heists and stuff like that. But there's a guy you meet up, Dom. That's how you do, like, the extreme sports stuff and, like, get your stamina up, basically. He's like, this real super, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do extreme, bro. And, like, he's like, so you want to, like, skydive with him and all that shit. And on Achievement Hunter, they were doing a heist and shit was going down and things were, like, upside down. And Michael's like, I don't know, there's cops around the thing. And his phone fucking, he's, like, on his fucking, like, you know, shooting. And his phone rings, it pops up. He's like, not now, Dom! Jesus Christ! Motherfucker!
Yeah.
You piece of shit. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, that is the exact opposite of the experience you would have with Mafia 2.
Mafia 2. It's just open.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Mafia 3. I think that's enough preamble to get into this. Mafia 3 takes place. You're a man named Lincoln Clay.
Mm-hmm.
You were orphaned. You were taken in. You're an African-American youth. Mm-hmm. You go to Vietnam.
Right.
You were involved in some... kind of iffy business.
Sketchy stuff.
You go, you come back and you're basically coming back to say goodbye to everybody. You're going to move to California.
Right.
Next thing you know, you get swept into all this shit.
Right.
So you're in a town called New Bordeaux. I wanted to say New Marais, but that's the fake New Orleans that's from Infamous 2. Oh,
okay.
New Bordeaux is their fake New Orleans. It is, you know, it's not just the city, it's the bayou, it's, you know, it's pretty much, you know, an interesting representation
right.
of that entire region of space.
Right.
And it has production values that will blow you away.
Interesting.
That game is not glitch-free by any stretch of the imagination.
Yes, people have been talking about the kind of glitchiness that's been going on with it. So.
Now, here's what I would say, and this is anecdotal. I'm one guy, and there's millions of copies of this game out there.
Obviously.
But almost all of the glitch videos that I see from that are from the PC or the PS4 version. The Xbox One version that I'm playing... other than some weird lighting stuff,
right?
I haven't encountered anything. I haven't noticed any cars floating into space,
right? Yeah,
or
I saw a speedboat do this.
Yeah, I'm really observant when it comes to this kind of stuff. Like, I'm
sure.
I have an eye for glitches. I haven't noticed this stuff. That's not saying this game's perfect because I'm one guy.
Right, sure.
But I will say that this game has a very, very interesting, about 2 hour prologue that is intercut with all of these documentary style interviews with these people in modern day.
Right.
So the people who are still alive.
Yeah.
And they're all, you know, describing the situation. It's 1968, just post the assassination of Martin Luther King.
Right.
So it's a very toxic environment.
Right.
This game is very liberal with its use of the Fs and the Ns.
The F words and N words. Fart and Nutella.
A
lot of Nutella in this game.
I understand that to some extent that stuff needs to be there, but I don't know. There are times where it feels weird to me.
Oh, yeah?
It feels a little excessive.
Interesting.
But, like, I do like some of the more non-verbal aspects of that game when it comes to racism at that time.
Right.
If you're in a rich neighborhood and you're walking down the street, everybody will, like, kind of shift their body and look at you kind of sideways.
Right, yeah.
And cops will continually roll down by you over and over again. Like, you know, there's definitely a lot of that tension that's involved. But the one thing that I would say is that this game, in structure, you know, since Grand Theft Auto V, we have not had one of those.
Right.
You know, there hasn't been a big budget open world action game. And, you know, this is one of those. It has that, you know, go here and smash up this dude's fucking business thing. It has, you know, a lot of the sorts of activities that you associate with open world games in spades.
Right.
So once you finish the prologue and, you know, there's a betrayal.
There's always a betrayal in a mafia game, or any game that involves the mafia, or any sandbox game, or any video game with a story. Let's be honest.
You're greeted with basically a series of missions where you're unlocking burrows,
right,
one by one by one in this town. And the idea is that the leaders of these burrows are just holed up in their mansion and they don't leave.
Right.
You know, because they're not going to expose themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But you start knocking off their businesses and taking money from them, which goes up towards this level. And once they get to a certain point, that person's going to be out trying to figure out what the fuck's going on.
Right.
Which leaves them exposed to be assassinated so you can take over the area.
Mm.
And in very short order, Lincoln starts getting abilities and other allies that you can call and the like. That make you kind of a wrecking machine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing that I would say is that this game has a very Uncharted aspect to it.
Sure.
In the sense that this game gives you the option to use cover and stealth.
Right.
And it feels very much like the cover and stealth from Uncharted.
Right.
So what I always end up doing is that, like, I will, and you can whistle just like Hitman.
Yeah.
And I will, like, I have a picture that I will show you later that is fucking hilarious. In the first mission in that game, there's, like, a group of 7 or 8 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I would whistle, and one guy would walk over, assassinate him.
Sure.
Whistle, next guy walk over, assassinate him. And then I just had this pile of dead bodies to the point where when the last guy was getting ready to walk in the room, he just saw the bodies and went, oh my god!
There's so many dead bodies here!
What happened in here? It didn't stop him from running in that room and getting murdered.
Though. Yeah, no, didn't stop him from that.
No, I would have saw the bodies. I'd have got the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And you know what? If he would have ran off, I'd have said, that's fine. He's smart.
He's smart. He lives today. You get to live today with your bloody knife.
But yeah, that's that game is absolutely... Close your eyes and think when I say open world crime game.
Right.
This is that.
Right. You actually need to do stuff.
You,
this is great.
You go out, a guy will steal a car or be running away. You have to wreck his car until he gets out of it, and then you murder him.
Right.
You know, you have to go over, knock over a business, beat up somebody, intimidate him to get information about where to go, and then you go there and you murder them. And this is that game. If you don't want another one of those, don't play this game.
Right.
But if you feel like I felt that it had been a really long time since we had had one of these, mm-hmm. you should play Mafia 3.
And there you go. Boom.
That's my thoughts on it.
That's Mafia 3. Ba-boom.
Forza Horizon 3.
Forza Horizon 3!
The first official, second official Play Anywhere game.
Yeah.
Recore was like a week earlier.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is really interesting.
Right.
I like it. It's, I'll keep this brief. Mm-hmm. Just because we talked a bit about the demo of the last podcast that we did.
Right.
But I've spent a few weeks with it. I've played quite a bit of that game. That game looks absolutely incredible.
It does.
It's really a game that never hitches. I put that game under tremendous stress in a lot of different situations at nighttime while it's raining, yeah. with crazy lighting effects, all sorts of stuff. I can't get that game to drop frames to save my fucking life.
Right.
No matter if I'm in like a fucking Pagani Huayra.
Right.
That, you know, goes a billion miles an hour. Nothing.
Right.
That game is absolutely rock solid. I've been playing it on my PC as well, just to check performance there. I have a fairly modest PC. Mm-hmm. It runs absolutely great there. Right. It's definitely... There's never been a better time to not own an Xbox. As long as you own a PC.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because all of the Xbox exclusives are on the PC now, and they run great. And... They're fully compatible with co-op, whether it be Gears, whether it be Forza, with the Xbox people. You get all the graphical improvements that you would associate with it being a PC game.
Yeah.
And, man, that's pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, really like Forza Horizon 3. That is one of my favorite games of this year and should not be skipped by anyone that even has a passing interest in automobiles.
In automobiles or racing
and
games.
And I've paid $123 for it so far.
What was the extra money you put into it? We put that on the video.
The expansion pack that comes with two expansions.
Yeah.
And then $3 for the treasure map.
For the treasure map, which is just basically fast travel for free, basically.
No, the treasure map is what puts all the XP boards and fast travel boards on my map.
On the map.
So I don't have to find them.
So you can go to them and get them.
Well, Yeah.
Gotcha. So there you go.
So you don't have to find them.
And you'll probably be dropping 10 more when the Porsche pack comes out?
Probably, yeah.
Porsche pack. Are they going to call it the Porsche pack? That you call
I think they call it Porsche Unleashed.
Porsche Unleashed.
That's what there they typically call it.
That's what they typically call it. It's Porsche pack. It's Porsche pack. But yeah, cool.
I love Forza Horizon 3.
It's a cool looking game, and it seems to be a lot of fun. Like, it's not, it's not stuck up its own butt or anything.
It
does not insist upon itself.
There's a very common conception, which I'll absolutely concede if someone wants to push the issue enough, that Forza is very much in the same way like Gran Turismo, stuffy and up its own butt.
Yeah, sure.
Because it has a love affair with automobiles.
Right.
It's, it's 1080p, it's 60 frames, it's like... almost orgasmically designed cars.
Right, yeah.
It generates down to the thousandth all the G-forces registered on your individual tires and shit. That game is nuts about cars.
And Forza Horizon set is arcadey.
It's Midnight Club. It's Burnout.
It's Burnout. It's those things.
It's probably more... Burnout than Midnight Club.
Sure.
Because Midnight Club was like a weird thing. All the Midnight Club games had this fucking mentality of having brutal difficulty.
Yeah.
And just for like seemingly no reason.
Yeah, they just wanted to be... It's like Mario 2.
Never finish.
Like the real Mario 2.
Yeah.
It's just like vindictively hard.
Yeah. But... Yeah, I really like that game. That will absolutely end up in my top five games of this year.
Come on. Yeah, that'll be definitely in the top five. The top five itself. Nice.
Another game that might end up in my top five.
That's true.
Which we'll be talking about next.
That we'll be talking about right now.
Right after this commercial break.
Right after this commercial break. We're not a commercial break.
Ba-dee-bam! Welcome back, everybody.
Do you have
Lisa mattresses?
Lisa mattresses.
What else do they talk about on a podcast?
I'm Ken Bone. I captured the nation's heart with my Pixar-esque appearance, and I'm here to talk to you about toe fungus.
I'm here to talk to you about Blue Apron. Do you eat out too much? What? Do you want to cook food at home? Blue Apron, I'll bring it to your house.
Blue Apron, I'll bring it to your house.
Dollar Shave Club. Are you front/ Video Destruction?
Did we get like all the Achievement Hunter?
No, every podcast uses every the same podcast ones.
They do. They just feed it out of the same.
Lisa
one.
Mattresses, Dollar Shave Club,
Blue Apron,
Me Undies.
What's that fucking glasses thing? The fucking like cheap glasses. God damn it, I forget that. Yeah. Weebly, fucking Weebly's always on there. Like,
let's stop talking about fucking podcast advertisements when we're not making
until
anything.
We get them.
Yeah. When we do, guess what? Anybody, Blue Apron, motherfucker.
Blue Apron, baby. Also, Wendy's, give us a call.
Dude, yeah, some Wendy's.
Some Wendy's, yeah.
Dude, yeah.
We'll do some Wendy's.
Dude, get a Baconator.
Baconator, baby.
Motherfucker, get a... one of those Asiago chicken motherfuckers.
Yeah, those things are good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do some bait. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Wendy's, bring back the chicken cordon bleu.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Because Arby's still has theirs.
Bring it back. But
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but you can only get it crispy at fucking Arby's.
That's true. You can't get the grill.
I need a grill.
You need the grilled. That's
I need
right.
a grill, baby.
Yeah, you need the grilled.
I want the Swiss.
I want the Swiss.
I want the mayo.
I want the mayo.
I want the ham.
I want the ham.
I want the grilled chicken boo.
Grilled chicken boo on the top. That's how we do it.
Right there.
Wendy's, give us a call. We'll,
call me.
You
know,
call us up. Get you some sweet...
The hot young Wendy?
You call want me. Right? You
not,
want
the, not the older actual Wendy.
Yeah. So if you want a direct line to our 25 listeners about Wendy's, give us a call. All right.
All five people who fucking listen to this. Yeah,
what is that? We got about a consistent 49 listens.
Yeah.
On episodes, which is pretty nice. But anyway, and I don't really know how well the tracking is on that, actually, so I'm not sure.
It might be better.
It might be better than that. It might be worse than that. I have no idea, because the tracking on this is kind of crap. I might be moving to Libsyn soon, but we'll see. That's back-end crap. You don't even know about that. Let's talk about Gears 4. Gears of War 4.
Gears of War 4
Gears of War
is
Fur.
The... Contrary to popular belief, mm-hmm. It's not the first Gear game in 5 years.
Right, because there was that one that...
Judgment came out in 2013,
yeah.
But it's like everybody got hit in the head with a fucking hammer and forgot that it fucking exists.
What was Judgment? Where did that go?
It's like, oh, this is the first game, Gears game in 5 years. No, there was Judgment. What?
What's that?
Like, we played that.
We played Judgment. Nope. Yeah, nope. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Was it bad? Is that why people forget about it?
It was no Gears 3.
Right, yeah. So it just was less than
it
that.
It was made by a different developer. It was made by People Can Fly, the guys who made Bulletstorm.
Oh, Bulletstorm. Right.
It didn't have Horde mode in it.
Mm.
It had a different objective mode in it.
Gotcha.
That people didn't gravitate to as much. It didn't have Beast, which was very popular in Gears of War 3. That was the one where you could play as the Locust against the humans in Horde mode.
Yeah.
Which was fucking badass.
Yeah, I remember Beast.
Man, fucking Gears of War 3, man. Fuck.
But how does 4 stack up? How does 4 stack up?
Do fucking Gears of War 4, man.
It's pretty dope. It's
dude,
pretty dope.
Yes. It's we dope. I showed you... The second act, which
all
is,
of Act Two,
which is not even my favorite act.
Yeah, it's just the Marcus Fenix act.
Yeah, I had to show you some Marcus.
Yeah, some Marcus act was pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty all right.
I really like the game. I haven't finished it as of this recording, but I think that game is real fucking special.
Right.
It is the first major release. Big budget $60 release to be running on the Unreal Engine 4.
Yes.
And it shows.
Yeah.
In the sense that I have never seen a console game do what this game does at certain times. Like, it's specular lighting effects.
Right.
It's fucking ability to throw a million different physics effects at you at the same time.
Yeah.
The wind stuff is crazy. The fabric effects are fucking crazy. I'll absolutely concede that stuff like Uncharted 4 does face stuff better.
Right. Sure, obviously.
Like, and the conversations in this are just whatever. It's fucking Gears, man.
Yeah, it is. You know, everybody's got a giant jaw anyway. Yeah, so they can just, all they do is flap them up and down.
This is a little better than that.
Yeah, it does. It's a little better than that, but I'm just saying.
You know, it's definitely, with it being Gears, and, you know, Uncharted, especially 4, is more about, like, you know, trying to tell some fucking touchy-feely family fucking story. Fucking NBC family bullshit.
My favorite thing about Uncharted is the fact that you murder 75,000 people through the course of a scene, and then when it gets to a cutscene, don't make me shoot you! Like, you've shot all these!
The world's most happy-go-lucky serial murderer, Nathan Drake.
Nathan Drake, like, he's just a bloodthirsty monster, that man.
Yeah,
anyway.
What I would say about Gears of War, just to kind of start at the top, it's one of the best-looking games on any platform. Mm-hmm. It looks incredible on the PC. It looks incredible on the Xbox. Mm-hmm. On the Xbox One S, it supports HDR if you've got a 4K HDR display,
right,
which will make it look even better. Mm-hmm. If you've got a gaming display that supports HDR, it will support that on PC as well.
Yep.
So PC people aren't being left in the cold.
Yep.
Now, beyond looks...
Yeah.
This game is very interesting.
Yeah.
The Locusts are gone after Gears of War 3.
Yeah.
Spoilers, at the end of Gears of War 3, you win.
You won!
I mean, there wasn't much of a world to still have.
But it was there.
Considering that, like, most of the continents had been sunk into the fucking ocean by that point. But you survived.
You survived. Not all of humanity's gone, but the Locusts are gone.
The final scene in Gears of War 3 is Marcus sitting down on the edge of that cliff, and Anya sitting next to him taking off the do-rag.
Yeah.
End of story.
End of story. But it's not the end!
Flash forward 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
The standing army of the Cog still exists, except they are no longer humans. They are made of robots.
Yes.
In Cog Army.
Yeah.
It's
robot men. It's interesting because it goes from apocalyptic to dystopian in a way. Yeah, because the Cogs are assholes now. That's their...
Yeah, they're bad people.
They're bad people. They're all bad empire type things. As you know, as things started to stabilize,
I'll rephrase that.
Yeah,
the leader is bad.
The leader is bad. Yeah, that's the thing. It's just like, because it's all robots. They're not. You know, there's robots. They can be good or bad. It don't matter.
You start off the game. This is 25 years after the end of Gears of War 3. You are J.D. Phoenix, the son of Marcus Phoenix.
Yes.
You're living with this group of outsiders that have their own little civilization that's outside of the Cog rule.
Right.
And there's kind of an unspoken agreement between, kind of a chat and a handshake sort of thing of, you can live here, don't fuck with us.
Right, yeah.
Do whatever the fuck you hippies want to do.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, what happens is that your group, very beginning of the game, is out scavenging for this unit that can generate power for your base.
Right.
And one of the places that you go is one of these new Cog settlements.
Mm-hmm.
So to repopulate the Earth, what they're doing is they have all these huge robots that are out building these cities.
Right.
So it's basically, you ship this robot here, that robot builds robots that build robots that build cities.
It builds a city, yeah.
So basically, you're breaking into, after you escape this wind flare, which if you've seen any of the trailers, it's the terrifying fucking windstorm thing that looks like a lightning tornado.
Yeah.
With
plasma coming down on top of the world, yeah.
So you escape one of those, and you get inside the city.
Right.
And it's kind of eerie in a way, even though, like, it's broad daylight, and it's beautiful blue skies after the wind flare goes away.
Yeah.
But you're in this city that's almost completely done, and there's just...
No one there.
It's almost eerie in ways.
A big empty metropolis, you would say.
And you know, you scavenge this unit, you encounter a bunch of robots, you fight the robots, and then one of the Chancellor of the Cog shows up as a robot with this big, you know, fucking LCD display for a face.
Yeah.
That's like, hey, you motherfucker, you know, you...
I am Anim Zola.
And she basically accuses you because you have defected from the Cog.
Right.
You conscripted into the Cog army even when your father told you not to.
Right.
Because J.D. Phoenix, he ain't got no bedtime and nobody tells him what to do.
Nobody tell him what to do.
He defected from the Cog because he didn't believe in what they were doing anymore.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, he's like, hey, man, I fucking quit. And she's like, you know, I didn't have a problem with that, but you've been stealing my people.
Right.
And she accuses you of basically recruiting your own army.
Recruiting army, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I don't know the fuck you're talking about. And you don't find out what that means until later. And basically, what that amounts to is that people have gone missing. And surprise, there may be another threat out there.
Aww.
I refuse to say what that is, what it's right. related to, anything about that. But the story, and that's only like the first act of that game.
Right.
So, and there's five.
I mean, there's trailers that show giant Cthulhoid octopus monsters, so that's not a spoiler.
That may or may not be in that game.
That may or may not be in that game, though. Who knows? I don't know. It probably is.
You ain't seen it, you don't
know. I ain't seen it yet. You don't know.
But yeah, I absolutely love the story in this game. Like, I have liked Gear stories in the past. I love this one.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm having a great time with
it. It's super cool, that's for sure. From what I've seen, it's super rad.
These guys, you can definitely feel like the Coalition, the new developer, they've taken over for Epic.
Right.
Microsoft has purchased the license, still contracting to use the Unreal Engine so that they can still maintain that general look and feel.
Sure.
excuse me. But, you know, you can definitely tell that that they are... These people are stoked to make a Gears game.
Right, yeah, yeah.
These people are fucking excited. There's a lot of people who made Gears games before that are on this team. You can definitely tell that there's a lot of consistency in there. I really, really like the idea that for about the first act and a half of this game, you are not using any weapons from... Old right. Gears.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all new weapons.
It's all new weapons. And then, yeah. So it brings you into a new thing. Feels the same. Game feels the same. Then it brings back the nostalgia factor because it's like, oh, hey.
Yeah, you don't even
there's
have...
There's those guns I wanted.
Yeah, you don't have the guns that are classic for Gears.
Yeah.
You don't even have the armor.
Right.
And I did find it a little funny that once you got the armor, you weren't any less squishy.
You weren't any less... a powerful or
I found that weird.
I thought
that putting that armor on would have maybe let me soak up a little more, whatever. It was a good scene,
right? Yeah.
But yeah, the storytelling in that is much better than the previous Gears games. I've always felt like the storytelling in Gears of War, whenever they tried to have dramatic moments, it was melodrama city because it was written by people who weren't writers.
Right, yeah.
It was written by people who were game designers.
Right, yeah.
And this feels like it was written by a writer.
Yeah, so you have like moments of like, he died for you, you know, like stuff like that. Yeah.
And all that fucking Dom's wife shit.
Yeah, that happened.
And the fucking, the Dom death moment in Gears 3 where they're like,
spoilers for Dom. What? Not now, Dom!
What if we play Mad World again?
That's a good song.
Dude, I'll say this. When Gears of War 1 came out...
Yeah. That was...
That trailer...
That trailer was a shift.
Fucking awesome.
So many people went to that
fucking
shift.
Fucking awesome.
Like, so many people went to that shift trailer.
Fucking awesome.
Because everybody would have, like, big epic songs or anything like that. Halo 2 was the first trailer for games... Where it was like, it's a movie. Like, this is a movie trailer. That was Halo 2. That was the first one that was like, Halo 2! Epic music, but he ejects stuff and he free falls through space and it's like, oh, so cool! Then everybody started doing that. Now game trailers are like movie trailers and they're better and better each time. Gears was another shift to that. That's when you take all this crazy action, fighting monsters, but you simmer it down with a... With a soft tune over top of it. And now that's a thing. Freaking WWE's doing that with Fallout then took it the other step by taking like a classic song like from like the '40s, like it's like fucking Fallout New Vegas, I think. Was that the first one that did it?
Yeah, no, three.
Three. Fallout 3 did that.
Yeah, it had New Vegas. I don't want to set the world on fire.
There's that.
I just want to be.
And like, and so, yes, and from since then, it's just been that. Like, that's been a thing for a lot of Epic games.
And this game did that again. I didn't feel like the trailer for this one. Since 2, I don't feel like they've had that punch for me anymore. I really like the one for 2.
Right.
But this one, like, all the pre-release coverage of it, I was like, okay, whatever, I'll play some Gears. I'll play through it on Insane with Todd. That'll be fun.
Sure.
And, dude, whatever.
Like, they showed me, dang it.
Yeah, they fucking, they pissed in my pants.
They gave me what I wanted. Like.
Dude, oh, yeah.
Just a golden shower of good stuff.
Bitch, all over my face and mouth.
Just a golden
shower. I fucking, dude, I love that game. Horde mode's back. It's fucking incredible. Mm-hmm. The 50-wave survival stuff that you love out of Horde is still there.
Yeah.
The way that they vary the waves, they... I don't want to give away too much of this.
Yeah, sure.
The traditional... iterations of enemies are in Horde mode.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's the robots. There's the new thing. So they're constantly varying up the approach of here's this. So every wave, you never know what the fuck you're going to get. There's so many options for them to throw shit at you. And I've had waves where they throw two different kinds of enemy at me at the same time. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know what to do.
I don't know. That's two different things. I can't think that well.
Well, and you're like, well, these are fast and these are slow, but those are way more... Fuck. And, it makes you think on your feet a lot, man. Like, that is... That's a fucking game, man. That is... Based on where I'm at right now, that is the most well-fleshed-out Gears experience I feel like they've ever made.
Nice. There you go.
And it's such a Gears of War 1 moment, again, where... they set a benchmark for graphical fidelity for a platform.
Right, yeah.
They really have.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is, you know, it may not be.
I mean, it's pretty successful. I think this is the start of a new trilogy for it. Like,
I would definitely
soft reboot now that JD takes over and you play JD's trilogy. That's I'm assuming is what this is going
to
be.
I'm curious if like at the end of this trilogy, if they discover another threat, just if everybody just lays down and said, just let it kill us.
You know what? We're done. I don't need this
shit. I'm so tired of this.
I'm so sick of this shit. Let's just fucking blow
this up. This planet just wants us to fucking die.
That's a car alarm, everybody.
That is my car.
That's your car alarm.
My dog just laid on my fucking car alarm.
Oh, Willow, you crazy girl. But that's okay, because we're out of time anyway. That's a good way to end, I guess.
That's
our wrap-up noise. That's it. So that's what
we gotta go!
We gotta go! That's what we've been playing this week. Willow, chill out. Yeah. So that's what we've been playing this week, these past 3 weeks, actually. We'll be back next week with another episode. Probably going to cover old Gears itself.
I think next week we'll talk old-ass game, we'll talk Gears of War. I've got plenty to say about that one. I've also got a 20-minute documentary on the original Gears of War that I would like you to watch before we do that.
Awesome, let's do that. That sounds like a fun thing. Awesome, okay, I'm totally cool with that. But that's it for this episode. Go check out those games and check us out at VideoDestruct.com. Also on Facebook and on Twitter, at VideoDestruct and on VideoDestruct. And it's always VideoDestruct. You can also follow him on Twitter.
Follow me on Twitter at Hoss_buddy.
Talks to wrestlers a lot, all the time.
I talked to Rhino this week.
You did. You talked to Rhino. I remember that.
I'm still talking to Rhino.
But also, our live stream is in 2 weeks, October 29th.
Yep.
Check out our live stream. It's for Corsair Kids. Donate. You can donate right now if you want to. If you don't have time to watch the live stream, it's fine. But go donate.
Give us money. Well, not us.
Not us.
The kids.
Give the kids money. We're raising it for the kids. We're trying to hit 2,500. 2,500.
Yes.
We're trying to hit 2,500 this year. Hopefully we can do it. We hit all of our strides last time. We did 15, 20, and now we're doing 25. So 2,500 is what we're trying to get to. It's been super fun, and it's going to be a week before the main Extra Life live stream. We had to schedule a week before. We might do a little extra streaming some other time along the lines, but it's not going to be on the 5th. It's going to be the 29th, the week before. So check us out there. And that's it for this episode, guys. We're out of time. See you next week.